Chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that is Jesus Christ, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right? We say a lot of times in reading that when the revelation comes, the time is at hand. That is still something that's a little bit hard for people to fathom. That when the revelation comes, the time is at hand. Now, you don't really find anything spoken of about the revelation except in the book of Revelation. And as to what John said concerning the revelation. Other than the fact that Paul, right after Calvary, said something about the revelation. And Peter said, as to Calvary, that ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And that was the time, that the time was at hand. And that was the end of the world. So then as it was, the end of the world, so then Paul wrote about it. Just a few short years later, he wrote about the expose of Calvary, which was the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then John, following that, wrote the book of Revelation as to the revealed Christ. And now we find ourselves again over here at the end of the church ages, and we're talking about the revealed Christ. And I said as it was that God gave unto Jesus this revelation of himself. And the revelation that God gave unto his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he gave him the revelation of himself, for that is to be revealed in his life as to the God of heaven and earth, not as of measure, but without measure, that God himself might be revealed from within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then when the veil was rent in twain, then came the revealing of the Christ, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. And always the revelation of Jesus Christ is the coming of the Lord. So then we find that in this, that the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ has come again in our day, and in this, then the time is at hand. It said in 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And then it says in 11:15, and the seventh angel he did sound. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Whereas the Bible says, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hath reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants. And the prophets unto the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And there, of course, appeared the wonder in heaven, and there was war in heaven. Now let's just talk on that for just a minute or two and see if we can mention something that might stir your ego up toward God. The devil's out there to stir up your ego toward the world, and he gets you carried away with the things of fascination as to the world by illuminating those and enticing you, as he did Eve, to the tree of knowledge. But let me see if I can entice you to the tree of life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So then it said the revelation of the Lord Jesus, the time is at hand. Then what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Let's take just a little primitive side of it and see if we can explain. We don't have time to really get into a message, so let me see if I can hurriedly explain a little bit on the primitive side of it and maybe get on over to the spiritual side of it. First of all, we're familiar with the tabernacle in the wilderness, and we know there's an outer court as to that of the Gentiles, and we know there is an inner court, and then we know there's an innermost court. All there is an outer court, and then there's a holy place, and then there is the most holy. So we know that the most holy is that little 10 by 10, as we say, as supposed, which is hid with the covering cherubs as to the curtains. And in there is an ark of the covenant, like Brother J.T. Parnell said one time. He said down here at Bethlehem, he said, I saw the tree of life out in the front of your building. And he said down there, I looked behind the sacred desk. And I saw the Ark of the Covenant, something as it was the Ark of the Covenant, he said, that was to be revealed to the people that has of yet not been revealed. So then, when we think of the Ark of the Covenant, we think of that which is hid behind the cherub curtains, as were the cherub curtains separate as to the holy place and the most holy place. And we know that the Ark of the Covenant has those covering cherub wings over it. Pete is doing a drawing or a piece of artwork now for a book cover that's got this on there. He's drawing the Ark of the Covenant. And so then in this, we know that behind those curtains in the days of Moses, that ark was always there. And we know that they could not look upon that ark and live. So then, as I tell you, I remind you again now, they had to turn backwards, pick up those curtains, put them on their shoulders, and they had to back up and lay that on the Ark of the Covenant, pick up the Ark of the Covenant with the rings that went into it, never at any time looking upon the Ark of the Covenant, because under those covering cherubs was the mercy seat and where God was supposed to be. And so, being symbolic in the earth, Moses had been in the mountain with God and made all these things according to that great, wonderful revelation of that day, as to those things showed him according to the pattern that was shown in the mountain. And he made natural, symbolic things as to a natural nation, a natural ark, natural covenants, so that we all, as a spiritual people in this day, might look back and observe those things, that those things happened for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come, the writer said. So here we are in the end of the world. Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now, the old world passed away with water, of which we could say much. We could preach for hours on that as to the explanation of it. And then the next world passed away as that of blood, which we could say many, many things, taking hours. And then the third world now is in view. And we're far down the trail as to this third one, which it would take a long time to explain. But here we're getting a little symbolic as to see this, and we see the beauty of it as to the sacredness of it as to God covering this thing. Now, we see a picture of this as when the Ark of Noah settled, and when Noah was drunk. As to being drunk, it'll relate to Pentecost if you can understand it spiritually. And you can see this as when Noah was drunk, and then his son would have looked upon his nakedness, and as far as we know, one evilly entreated him during the time of his drunkenness, and it upset the Lord, and the others could have looked upon his nakedness, but these two that got together, they took this as it would be a covering, they put it over their shoulders, and they walked backwards, as you see me do right here, and laid it over his nakedness to keep from looking upon him, because God was giving us a great symbol of that wonderful thing of God as to the sacredness of the ark, that when they would walk backwards and put the curtain over that, the no one could look upon that. Because as to the son that did practice his evil and debauchery, God cursed him. Noah cursed him, and he became a curse because of what he did. But blessed were those that walked backwards, that covered the nudeness of the Father. And from that time on, they were blessed in the sight of the Father, both heavenly and earthly. So then we see a wonderful picture of the way that God does things. Now, there came the time as to Calvary when this veil was rent in twain. Before this, there could only be one that would go in behind these curtains, and that was Aaron, thus signifying the coming of the Holy Ghost as to the Spirit of Christ, that would rend the veil, or the time of Calvary, when the covering cherubs, as to those that the Bible spoke of as far back as the garden, would step aside and let the Master through. As to the garden, as to the expulsion, God placed there at the gate of that garden the flaming cherubs, to where no one could enter into that garden. And then came the day of Calvary, and the Master himself came after the second man Adam to claim that garden and to claim his rights back to the tree of life, and to move things that were in the way, or to rend the veil of these cherubs. And to do that, he had to pass through there and pass through death. As to the death of the first man, Adam, to get back into the garden, that the spiritual image might be preserved or recovered, as to that which was lost when God said, "You cover with a covering, but that not of my glory." And the other night in the message, some people made quite a fuss over the message, in that we brought out something as to the covering of the glory of God, how it was lost and how the illumination was taken away, and that even until Calvary, it stayed taken away, and then at Calvary, it was brought back into view. All right, so today the great wonderful illumination is here, not only out there to the world as to the mercy of God from the mercy seat of the covenant of God, but as to that which we are born of on the inside, as to having rent this veil and going into our heart. If you ever notice, you got lungs in here, and these two lungs, very colorful in picture, which indicates as to the physical dimension, the covering cherubs over your heart, and within the heart you find the throne, as to the life being within the blood. So then you find these things, and how beautiful it is to see that in every phase of life, God has illustrated or projected himself to those that are spiritual, that they might comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of these great, marvelous things. We know then that there was a place of covenant, and we know that it was veiled off. As Brother Taylor sings the song, it was veiled off from human view. But we know that the Savior, even Jesus, came, and he hath rent the veil in twain, or in two, making in himself two, as to divide asunder the body from the spirit, as to the world of natural carnality, as to the world of spirit. As they are in the world, so are they of the natural, and as they are in heaven, so are they of the spirit. So with the rending of this veil at Calvary, he broke through the covering cherubs, and thus the veil was rent in twain. And he laid it aside, and he entered in right into the very presence of God, into the holies of holies himself. And today he's right in the holies of holies, and he is sitting upon the mercy seat, as to what that was as when the high priest took this blood in. Well, that is to say, Christ, as to the Holy Ghost, has taken the blood of that spotless lamb, even the Lord Jesus, and rent those veils as to the curtain, and went right straight in to the seat of atonement, and took his own blood as to the Spirit of Christ, and put it upon the mercy seat, as to you and I, to make an end of sin once and for all. And so it is that out of that particular month of the year, always the priest went in, and he did this as to make an atonement for the people, but it always brought back to God's remembrance sin, and God did not like that. So one day, once and for all, Christ came and by him own self put away sin once and for all. He offered his blood for his own purging and for all other people. That today we're not under the law. Today the veil is not standing between us and the Ark of the Covenant. Today we have the very Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. And today we can enter right into the place of the holies of holies. With all boldness we can go in, because our boldness is of the righteousness of Almighty God. The Bible said, therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you might receive help in the time of need. So we boldly go in before God because we have the right to do that. See, and we ask of God and we receive help in the time of need, because Jesus, our Redeemer, our High Priest, has made the way to where we're not cut off from heaven's view anymore. But we can go right in. Now, this again I say, and the revelation of Jesus Christ. This again I say, as to the revealing of that innermost as to God looking into the hearts, and he hath rent asunder as to dividing your body from your spirit to reveal the contents of your heart, that the innermost you as the inner man might come forth, and all of the world might see the Christ made manifest in your mortal genes. All right, so then we see that God has done this, he hath wrought this for us, and we who are dull of hearing, and we that cannot see afar off, we fail to see these things, and we fail to hear these things, and therefore we are greatly enticed by that which is around us. We look all around us, and we're greatly enticed by the things of the world, and we're after the vain jinglings of the world so much that we don't have time for God. We're always busy with the things of the world. See, and we want automobiles, and we want houses, and we want land, and we want frolic, and we want securities, and we'd like to have a pretty face, and we'd like to have bubbling muscles, and we'd like to have the fine figure and physique, and all these kind of things as we revel through life. We want to have the passions as the alluring and the satisfying as to this human body, as to feeling those things, as to the vibrance that comes to the human body, that that satisfaction of lust might be there. Satan is pressing us all the time, pressing our mind, pressing our human senses, drawing and drawing to try to do something as to those human senses, to where he can get out of the dry places and receive the waters of life as through the day of mercy as to the natural sources of these things of the world. Well, that's a bad situation, but nevertheless, so it is. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, lusting after the things of the world. The Bible said, "Know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy?" And then God has commanded us to turn away from that, to cast down every thought and the imagination that comes to our mind, or anything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ every thought. Because we do not feel this verbal inspiration the way we'd like to feel it, because of our slothfulness and because of our lack of conformity to God. But because we do not feel it, then we do not drive to go toward this. See, we drive to go to that that we can feel. We eat and we're stimulated, and that satisfies us to the human senses, as to the taste buds. We hear and we hear the vain jinglings of this world, as the musical chimes and the beat of the tum-tum, you know, and the things of musical chimes that satisfies us, that rum, 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 that's going back to the old heathenistic way of life. And it does something to us, you know. They want to shake and jump and run and turn flips, and do they lose self-control, and they are projecting this, and devils and demons are pushing this, as do the living dead and all of these other concerts and whatever, and pressing the human body to tell them to lose control, this is the great way of life, lose control, get your little dope, take your little drink, spice it up, and lose control and just let yourself go and be a pig. They don't tell you that part of it. But anyway, they said just let yourself go, wallow in the mire, you know. And so then after a while you do, and somebody says, boy, ain't this living, ain't this living. But really it's not living, it's death. It's death. It's death to the fool, and the fool is going on till the dart strikes through the liver. Like some of them from the park up at Red Top was just telling me just recently, set up at Red Top, he said, there's the weirdest people up there. Said these people that call themselves the Grateful Dead. Said these people up there, talks like there's hundreds and hundreds of boys and girls, men and women, they don't have any morals, they don't have any decency. You know, they call themselves the liberals. In other words, we don't have any bondage. We don't have anybody bothering us. We live like dogs and pigs. We just have interwoven relation, and we just get together and we just vomit on each other, and nobody tells anybody anything, and nobody has the wife, and nobody has any rules and regulations. You know, we are those that are of liberty, and our government has just about got that way too. Everything anywhere in the world can come in here in a form of worship, but there's no constraints on it. And yet we can try to worship God, and they got all kind of constraints, though we're supposed to have separation of church and state. So you can see it's the devil that's opening the doors and letting the rats through the hole and trying to kill us out. He's trying his best to kill us out. But folks, it's time that we dug in. It's time that we stood up. It's time that we declared the things of God. We're not going to quit. The devil isn't going to make us quit. You know, he's got it in his little old small mind that we're going to quit. So then, the revelation of what? The revealing of Jesus the Christ. And this Christ on the inside of Jesus, every day of the life of Jesus, he grew in favor with man and God. And this great Christ on the inside, proportionally, as by measure, a little bit at a time, revealed itself to his outer man. Not that he had the Spirit by measure, but because he was my example, and he had to grow in favor with man and God, and he had to learn obedience by the things he suffered to be my example. And this great, wonderful abundance of God on the inside, as to the fullness of life and fullness of God, revealed itself from glory to glory to this Jesus, until he came to understand fully that he was the very God of heaven manifested in the flesh. And so then, we have the same Spirit on the inside of us as to the Spirit of Christ, that it is revealed from our innermost being to this outer man that we are God. He is on the inside from glory to glory and from measure to measure. As to whatever your measure might be, he is revealing to you that you are God. You know, even the devil had this much understanding. He said that even God doth know that in the day that thou eatest of that tree, that ye shall become as gods. Your eyes shall be open. And sure enough, he was as to that. Even though he lied to the people when he said, thou shalt not surely die. The devil always mixes a little truth in and changes the word of God into a lie to use it for his own cause. As them of today that turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. But it is a true fact that Christ is Spirit on the inside of you day by day from your infancy in Christ as to the new birth is revealing to you inwardly that ye are the very God. You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh as members of his body in particular. And Paul said, you receive me as the Lord himself. Where is that reception, he said. And he said, it's not me that's living, but Christ that's living on the inside of me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God that gave himself for me. So then there's a God people in the world. There are people that are gods in the world. And when you preach this, people draw up. When you talk about this, people draw back because they are afraid and they do not know. They're so carnal and they're so wishy-washy and they're so much in the natural frame of mind and so given to the natural things of life until they shake and they tremble and they are afraid. I like that scripture that says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. So then by faith, we make ourselves equal with God through the mind of Jesus Christ, by the blood upon the doorpost, and by that wonderful Spirit on the inside that reveals to us that we are from the very loins of our Father, and that we are as he is, so are we in him, and that we pass from death unto life, and we are eternal, and before the world ever was, he knew us, and gave us this place in Christ, that as Jesus said, Father, restore unto us the joy, he said, as unto me, the joy, he was saying, is unto us, because we are the membership of the body, as unto these, Father, glorify them with the same glory that I had with thee before the world ever was. And so then he hath given us his very same glory. So this is so wonderful to know that we're glorified with all things that pertain unto life, and that we're glorified with supernatural strength and supernatural understanding, supernatural endurance, and that we are of that body to say, we are the resurrection and we are the life. And though we were dead, yet we're alive forevermore. Somebody said, you can't say that. Jesus said, my Father and I are one. Hallelujah. 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 That's what makes us what we are, is because we believe it. Because he said it. And if he said it, it's all yea and amen to me. Hallelujah. I don't question it because that's the way it is. In the world, they say, tell it like it is. That's the way it is. And that's why it sounds so strange in this hour. Because we are now, as to those that have overcome, as I said this morning, moving in now to this wonderful, wonderful hidden manna. Many church people, as to millions of people, will never come into this. They'll be churchy, they'll listen to the word, but they'll never come into it. They'll have a fear and they'll be afraid, and this thing will be strange unto them because they have never lived a godly, holy, overcoming life as to come into this thing with Christ Jesus, and they are afraid to believe this. And so then they'll go on in their churchianity year after year, and they will utterly perish as in the gainsaying of Korah. But they that have overcome, they that have laid it aside as to the flesh, they that are not in the flesh but dwell in heaven will look around and see that their environment is not the same as those that are in the earth, and that they're living in heavenly places, sitting in heavenly places, enjoying heavenly things, and that their desire is in heaven, their conversation in heaven, their treasures are in heaven, and they are transformating in mind to just in a continuation. They are transformating into this great, wonderful mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Someone would say, what do you mean by that? I mean the mind of Christ Jesus thought like this. I am the Son of God. I've conquered death. I have the power to lay my life down or take it up. I am one with my Father. I can do all things because my Father and I are one. See, and when you think like this, that is the mind of Christ. That is the thoughts of Christ. And whatever his thoughts was as he walked, he said, you follow in my steps. Like a vision I had one time, I said, Lord, let me follow you. And I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw these great prints in the sand, great footprints. And I knew that they were the Lord's, and I was little. And every step that he would take, I would put my foot right into his great giant footprint. And then I'd see another, and I'd put my foot in it, and I was following him just like that. See, take up your cross and follow me, that wherever I am, there ye might be also. For he said, wherever I am, my disciples, they'll follow me. They'll be right there wherever I am. So this is the thing that we're trying to do. We are trying to grasp the fact that Christ's mind is on the inside of us, which is the full knowledge of God, and that all of the great things of God was given to us in Christ, and that this mind is being revealed to us a little at a time, as from infancy to the mature of the fullness of the stature, as to our diplomacy of that heavenly world, that it might reveal to us that we are the living gods as to the membership of the one God body, and that we are one, that our Savior is one with us, and that we are his, and we are in him, and he is in us, and that we own all things, and we can do all things, we know all things, we are one with him in everything, everything. Someone would say, where do you get the wonderful revelation? I get the revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ through the shed blood of Calvary. Someone would say, well, you can't do that, but I've already done that. Somebody said, but you can't do those things, but I want the devil to know I've already done them. So he came too late to tell me. Somebody said, well, don't you know that God threw the devil down for that? No, God has never thrown anybody down for this. Because he said, if we come in at the door, we're partakers of the supper. He threw the devil down because he tried to get in another way, and he didn't want to go through the door of holiness, and he didn't want to go through the door of righteousness. He didn't want to go through the door of conforming to what the word said to meet the laws as to the things that God has set in order. And so then he went up another way, and he was cast out. Not only that, but through the days of grace, wherein men turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, these people also will be cast out if they try to get in. And many of them are coming into the supper through religious attire, and they're moving right into these things through their religious zeal, and yet they're not living holy. They're not putting on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as to the wedding garment. They're not being baptized into Christ to put on Christ, and they're going to be found without the wedding garment in that day. And the Bible said, and they'll be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness as to those stars that's falling from heaven. So we can see that God doesn't cast out anybody that comes through the name Jesus. And the Bible said, and I shall in no wise cast out or put down or turn away anyone that cometh unto me. So we come unto him because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the revealing of Christ within humanity. And the Bible said, if any man deny that Christ is, that is to presently speak, come in the flesh, that man is Antichrist. For Christ today lives within the human body. And so then this Christ on the inside, which is the Word, is now revealing himself as the great, wonderful, spiritual Word of life as to the dimensions from first heaven and second heaven and third heaven as to whatever your faith in that Word can do. Thus are you in Christ 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, are going on to the full measure, the full stature, on to the full reward. The time is at hand. So the time is at hand. Someone will say, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike, the time is at hand? It's like Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. You don't see that. You don't understand that. You don't know that. But nevertheless, as in that day, they did not know it, but it happened anyway. 483 years, and the seven was taken from the 490, leaving the 483, and the world passed away. And from that time on, it has been a heavenly open door. And from that time on, people have been translated into the kingdom of God, the law and the prophets till John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has come. And now we're praying, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so then men translate into the kingdom of God by pressing against this outer being of the infiltration of Satan in this outer man, to eradicate as to the impurities, as to sanctify their heart by faith, and to bring into subjection every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, or to cast out the unclean spirits, that Christ's spirit may come in and set up the kingdom of God within you. So then we can see that the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Christ, is in the earth. From Calvary, now it's been revealed down through the church ages as to the tutoring, as to the full measure of the full stature of the purpose of God, and as to coming to the sevenfold light. As Jesus stood within the midst of the candlesticks and looked up, and there was the door open in heaven. So we see that the time is at hand. The time was at hand. And then the Bible says, and the fullness of time came. And God ordained that in the fullness of time, in that the time was at hand, that all things in heaven and earth should be gathered into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the door was now open in the ark, and as the spear in the side, as the curtains had been rent, and so all could go in boldly in Christ into the very presence of the holies of holies. For our life as the spiritual being is hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. So we are they that dwell in heaven. The time is at hand, and the mysteries of God are to be finished. What is it that the mysteries of God should be finished? That at the rending of the veil, that the innermost hidden secret should come. For the Bible said, in these things were hid in Christ before the world ever was, and great men have desired to see them and could not. And as he said to them, it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you the hidden manna is given. It is given to you to eat of the hidden manna, because you have overcome. You have overcome the sin and the tempter, in that you overcame the devil and the image of the devil, as to the bastard child, as to the fallen image, even that image that you look at when you look in the mirror. And you've mortified the deeds of the flesh. And in God, he doesn't see you anymore as your natural person, having been born in this world as that troublemaker. But that one is buried in the name of Jesus in a watery grave. And today God looks over the chasm as to the church ages and as to the Gentile age, and sees you in the change out here, in the Thessalonian change, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And today, you're the body of the Lord Jesus, members in particular. And when Jesus resurrected from the dead, the Bible said he came forth in another form, and he lifted up, and with him I went, and with him you went. And since that time, we've been dwelling in heaven, even the foreknowledge of God, and made manifest at the Calvary as to let us know these things, that they could be preached, and then as to your mind, through the mind of Christ, comprehending the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of these great phenomenal things. All right, so the time is at hand, the revelation of Jesus Christ, revealing of the Lord. So then Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And so the ends of the world came. And someone would say, well, where are we then, Brother Pike, if the end of the world came back there? We are in heaven. We are in heaven. Well, what about the world, somebody says. What about the world? You know, I could care less about the world, as we say. What about the world? The world passed away. When God brought the great judgment, as in the days of Noah, the old world passed away. And he said as to Jesus, this is as the waters of Noah to me. I've gathered all things into the body of the Lord Jesus. Now they're saved, and my wrath has been poured out. And as to this that happened at Calvary shall be made manifest as soon as the earthly perspective comes back in, as to the day of the judgment, I will bring this to pass as to a manifestation. But right now it's all put away as having to do with the Jew and the world as to those people in darkness. And ye are they that dwell in heaven, and this wonderful door is open from the 483 over to the last 7 years of the tribulation. And this is that great thing of that prism of the cornerstone coming at Calvary, crying, grace, grace, and that great marvelous light of God, as scientists seeing all of the colors being within the light. When God, the great light, struck this prism, then the light refracted and overwent the rainbow as a bridge over the church ages, as to the seven candlesticks or the seven messengers. That's before the throne of God, and we were bridged over the turbulence, even as the tribulation for the Jews, in that they'll be sealed in that hour. So then we find out we come out in the new world, even as Noah did, or out in the millennium. We'll be there in that wonderful millennium age. And a lot we could say about that and have said about it in the past. But the revelation, the revealing of Christ, is here at last. Who is Christ? He is the quickening spirit. Who is Christ? He is God, as to a personification. Who is Christ? He's the great, wonderful Holy Spirit that's dwelling on the inside of us. And as to the Gentiles, as to that measure of wheat, not as to the barley harvest, but the wheat harvest, as to the Gentile, barley harvest to the Jews, as we preach today over the air, as to Israel, as concerning the barley harvest. So then we are of that ground up meal, and he hath given unto us by measure, and each one of us hath a measure according to the measure that has been dealt unto us, or that we're willing to submit to, or that we go on to receive 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, whatever you're willing to surrender of yourself so you can have that of God. And we see then that the revelation of the Lord Jesus is here. The time is at hand. And so the fullness of time came, and God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law, as to the Jewish people, and then to bring in the wonderful church, as to the church ages, or the birth of the church at Pentecost, or to bring about those that were translated into the kingdom of God by faith, even as Enoch that was translated that he should not see death, and to bring them into that wonderful thing of heaven, as to the body of Jesus that appeared in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, appearing between the heavenly cherubs as to Moses and Elijah. So we see the glorification of the body of Jesus Christ, that he finished the course before he ever left. And thus the church is thus sanctified, justified, and glorified. And we see him there as the church, standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, appearing in glory, saying, it is finished, Father, for the church is now glorified. And so then he went away as to fade out from that, appeared back in this world, and then went to the natural cross to make the atonement for you and I, that we might become him in this wonderful finished product, as to the glorification, as being complete in him, that he might become us in sin and death, and once and for all, by him own self, put away sin, that there be no more remembrance of this evil detriment that has grieved God from the start as to God's creature. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, the time is at hand, and we could go on and go on and go on with these wonderful things as to this revelation, but God has so placed His Spirit within you that He is revealing to you every day as to who you are. As to who you are. He is not revealing it to those out there. The rain is upon the tare, but it is not revealed unto them that they are gods. It is not revealed unto them that they pass from death unto life. It is not revealed unto them to know the wonderful things of God, because it is not given unto them. Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they should not see when good cometh. And the Bible said this wonderful light of the end time, it has shined in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. For as the Bible said, and it shall come to pass that in the evening time there shall be light. Or that is great light is sprang up unto them that sat in the region of the shadow of death. And we have comprehended the light because, as I said this morning, scientists, falsely so-called, the intellectual side of life, says that you cannot see light. And as to their scientific definition, so it is. But to you and I, we know that science falsely so called, because we are children of light and we do see light and we comprehend the depths, the heights, the width, the length of all of this wonderful understanding of God, which is light. So then we do see light. And because of this, we are children of light. They do not see light. So then they are children of darkness. So it's good to be a child of light. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, for the Bible said God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the marvelous kingdom of light. So we are delivered from that ignorance as to that veil of death, that intellectual thing that took hold of man in the garden. And today we are within His presence and God is revealing to us these wonderful things. And this light that is on the inside is to an understanding, is bringing us to the full measure of the full stature, is to comprehend that we are gods, that we cannot die, that we are justified, that we are made perfect forever, that the devil never touches us, that we have no spots and blemishes, but we are eternally justified, eternally alive, eternally rich, eternally youthful, eternally strong, to the extent that as we come to the fullness of this, whereas we're near the boundary line now, that they will not be able to put us in a casket, nor put us in a hole and throw dirt in our faith, because we're comprehending the redemption of the body as to the purchased possession of that which He purchased at Calvary, that we may never die but be changed. Because coming to this state of mind, you come into this, and when you reach the fullness of it as to what God has decreed, as to His time and age, then there is no more death. Death has been conquered and swallowed up in victory. Somebody said, well, when that time comes, Brother Pike, then I'll rejoice over it. But folks, let me tell you, though that time is coming for Israel, though that time is coming as the world seeing this, yet it is already with us. As the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, of which the lake of fire, or that is called the second death, hath no power. Or that is to say, there's but one death, and that is the lake of fire, as to the separation of the spirit of man from God, the great spirit. For as to the separation of the spirit from the body is only sleep. And of this we see that we cannot die. We pass from death unto life, that God has looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, in a time accepted, succored us, as to those that were prisoners of death, and loosed them that was appointed unto death. And so then we've been loosed, and we are the children that God has redeemed, the songwriter said. And now we are free from death, and we're free from sickness, and we're free from poverty, and we're free from all of these other things. And the devil is only creating this problem for us and causing this problem because we're still children. Though we be Lord of all, yet we're still under the tutors until the time appointed of the Father. As to the bar mitzvah, which means comprehending the fullness, or that is the adoption, as to the change, coming to the bar mitzvah, on the place of recognition of who we are and what we are, and losing our fear of the devil and death and all these other things. Because we are We are now, beloved, the sons of God. We have already passed from death into life, and we shall never come into condemnation. And I say this to you just before closing here, that when I say never come into condemnation, we need to realize the thing that I'm saying, because the Bible said, if you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, then you shall not come into condemnation. And if you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, then you pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. And I tell you that it's not the wishy-washy way of life as to thinking, well, I've really got to hold on, because today I may walk in the flesh, tomorrow I may walk in the Spirit. There is no such thing as that, only in the sense of allowance of you as to the flesh that's going to distort you, but it has nothing to do with your eternal life. You cannot walk in the flesh because you're not in the flesh. God chose you out of the flesh. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who are not in the flesh as in the body, but are in Christ. For we are not of this world. God has chosen us out of this world. He's hid us in, with Christ in God in the heavens have received. And we are not as to faltering and stumbling people, but we are perfect people, having been made perfect by God. And there's no such thing as faltering as to walking in the flesh, that we should be defiled, because we're perfected forever, once and for all, having been sanctified by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. How then can we walk in the flesh? How then can we sin? See, that's your carnal corruption. That's your carnal mind. It shows you that you're of the bastard child, because you cannot believe and you cannot get away from your sins. There's no way you'll ever get away from your sin, because you cannot believe this. You cannot have this. There is no way. And that's why you reason against me in your mind. That's why you reason in your own doctrine and understanding, as the self-esteem as though you understood, when you know not. When the Bible said you think you know something, you know something as you ought to know. And the thing you ought to know is that you don't know anything. Let's give the Lord a hand. Only in Christ Jesus do we know anything. When you lean to your own understanding, you're in trouble. All right. So what is this? The revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of who we are, which means that through this we've been transported to another world. And you that are still in your carnal mind, you're still in that carnal world. And to be carnally minded is death. And we that are not in the carnal mind, but in the spiritual mind, to be spiritually minded is life. Because to be in the spiritual mind, then are you in the Spirit. To be in the carnal mind, then are you in the flesh. For Satan, even Satan that has been cast out of the great, wonderful world of illumination, is the infiltration that's within your body that has you in bondages to the bond child of those human senses that's relative to the tangible source of creation. And you are in bondage to these forms of matter that are around you, and you cannot escape them, because the creature was made subject to vanity by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. But we that are coming to this wonderful light, not just to hear as to a reflector, but this that will not go out after that it's been heard, we will not go out as to the light of this. It will not leave us, but we will continue on and on and on in this wonderful light. That is, we're going to continue to glow. We're going to continue to shine. We're going to continue to be brilliant with this wisdom that illuminates our countenance. And we're going to continue to believe with all of our heart. And the body is going to continue to change into this glorious, wonderful, celestial creature. So I thank God for this wonderful thing, because the new world is now at hand. The kingdom of God is now at hand. And the new creature is now at hand. And behold, old things have passed away by Christ. And behold, all things are become new. And I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I've been buried as to the old, resurrected as to the new. And I have now grown up from my infancy into this wonderful knowledge of who I am and what I am. And that all things are mine. All things are mine, whether in heaven or in earth, I own it all. I own it all. I own it all. Someone would say, well, how can you own it all? Because I outlived all of you that won't own it. Let's give the Lord a hand. And the man that lives the longest is the man that owns it all. You may have it today, but if I outlive you, I've got it. If you outlive me, then you got it. So then I'm planning to outlive all of you, unless you're sons of God. And if you're sons of God, then come on up here and I'll divide it with you. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'll divide it with you the same way that we divide the world. You can go see California when you get ready, and I'll go see California when I get ready, and you can go to the ocean when you get ready. I'll go to the ocean when I get ready, and we'll just all on it together. So heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And even as in the millennium, and nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountains, saith the Lord. All right, let's stand together. You that are reflectors, you will hear, but you will not perceive, and you will not understand. And it will go out, it will be a globe, it will go out as you go your way, it will go out and you'll go back to the wallowing in the mire. The sow after that she has been washed shall go back to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog shall return to his vomit. But you that are children of God will not go out. This will leak deep down on the inside of you, and it will reveal itself until the life of Jesus Christ is made manifest in your mortal genes. And you will not go out. This light will be there. You'll never forget it. Scientists say to never forget those things that you've heard. People that go to hell will never forget them to the extent they'll have remembrance as to having wished it went the right way. But we will never forget them as to having been embedded within our heart as spiritual words of life, of liberty. Wherever the Spirit is, this is the word Spirit. There's liberty. It brings liberty. He sent His word and healed. By His word He cast out the unclean spirits. So then, find that this wonderful word goes with us, this wonderful light continues with us, and we walk in the light as He is in the light, having fellowship one with another, as the unionizing of the bodily members. The light never goes out. We leave the sanctuary, and like the cow that eats the grass during the daytime and chews the cud when it lays down, we begin to chew the cud. And that we feed all night long and meditate in this lost day and night upon these marvelous things that God has given us. And during this time, that transformation of the inner man is to the transformating of the mind. Paul said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformating of the mind is bringing us into that great, wonderful, heavenly way of life. And on we go to that greatness that God is revealing only to the children of light. For it's not given unto the world to know these things. It's not given unto them to know the mysteries, because if it was given unto them to know the mysteries, they would comprehend the heights, the depth, and width of this wonderful thing and find themselves in this wonderful spirit realm or in this wonderful spirit dimension or in this wonderful spirit world. So we're in the world among the people. We eat with the sinners and the publicans. But though we be in the world, we're not of the world. Come out from among the world. As to coming out of the world, and He said, I know that you cannot come out from among the world. As to coming out of the world, and that you have to dwell in the world, as to your natural body. He said, but as in your heart, as in your spirit, as in your life, as to the angelic man, come out from partakers, or being partakers of that, as to the lust of the flesh and the gullible desires, as to the things of the world. For if the love of the world be in you, the love of the Father isn't there. If your spirit is as of the love of the world, then that's Satan interwoven in your spirit. But if your spirit is of the angelic source, as to laying up your treasures in heaven, having the love of God as to the desires of those things that are heavenly, then are you the children of God. All right, lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there shall your heart be also. Okay, let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. I love Him.
Love Him.
I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. I feel the touch of hands so kind and gentle, they're leading me through paths that I must trod. But I have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. And I'm sheltered in the arms of God. How many of you can sing with me? So let the storm clouds rise, the dark clouds come, they won't bother me. Oh, I'm sheltered safely in the arms of God. I'll have no fear, for naught of earth can harm me. For I'm sheltered. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep to in God's sweet heaven. Sheltered safely in the arms of God. So let the storm clouds rise, the dark clouds come, and they won't bother me. Oh, I'm sheltered safely in the arms of love. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. And I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Sing the chorus again. So let the storm clouds rise, the dark clouds come, but they won't bother me, for I'm sheltered safely in the arms of love. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walked Thine shelter in the arms of love. One more time. Storm and the clouds rise, the dark clouds come, but they won't bother me, for I'm sheltered safely in the arms of God. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walked beside me. And I'm sheltered in the arms of love. Okay, let's sing another chorus. The altars are open while we sing these little choruses, and you're welcome to come. Give me another key, friend. If you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry on. Although the way is
rough and steep, but
together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, and you won't have to stop, lift up your eyes to look up ahead, cause there's the mountain top. And when you stand upon the top, you'll be so glad that you tried. And together we will praise the Lord, shout down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road is rough and long, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through, I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I'm going to smooth out the roads that leads to heaven up above. I'll make it easy for those behind. The road to heaven is straight, oh so narrow. The gate around is trials of every kind. I want to smooth out the roads that leads heaven up above. Make it easy for those that's behind. We keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and blind. I want to smooth out roads that leads to heaven up above and make it easy. Sing it one more time. That road to heaven, it's straight and also narrow. That gate round the trials of every kind. I want to smooth out the snares that hinder. Offer my prayers and make it easy for those behind. We keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. to smooth out the road that leads to heaven above and make it easy for those behind. If you're in the battle for the Lord and the right, keep on the firing line. If you win, you must fight. Keep on the battle line. If it's but to labor for the master dear, help to bind the sheeple and to spread good cheer. And faith you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, don't ever lag behind. And if you would win for God and the right, then keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, don't ever lag behind. Or if you win for God and the right, then keep on the firing line. All right, let's lift our hands and close our eyes and sing this little chorus together. And I will praise Him, my will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Sing that with me now. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that's washed away every stain. Once again. And I will praise Him, my heart will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us wash the weary, and time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more, for the angel stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Can you raise your hands to heaven? Can you raise your hands to heaven? Run time. Can you give Him a wave offering? Be no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on
the sea and the land. Dying swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time. No more. One more time together. For time shall be. I preach to you that time is now gone. All the saints of God, I preach to the origin of time. I preach to you the stride of time. I preach to you the eradication of time. And I showed you how that the end of the world has come upon them as of the world. And if thou canst believe, then you can understand. And you'll see how far down the trail things really are. Shall be. Sing it with me now. Lift your hands up and let's sing it. For time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. For the angels will stand on the sea and the land, and I shall be no more. I want you to sing it just one more time with me. For time shall be no more, no time no more. Where is time? What has happened to time? But ask Brother Tony Portillion if he'll come up and dismiss us. While Tony's coming, let's sing this together one more time. For time shall be no more. Tony comes from Louisiana. I read in the book of our Louisiana Purchase. As to the purchase possession, as he came here, he had to do with something outstanding. And today, he's still with us. When I told him he would come in this direction, he just kind of looked at me and grinned. And in his mind, he made me to know as to later, Brother Pike, you don't know what you're talking about. But nevertheless, he's here. And he's been with us. And he wants to stay. So time shall be no more.